October 10th, 2005, item number 95. Today's guest is Jeff from the English as a Second Language podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. Before we get into our interview with Jeff, a couple quick news and notes. And the biggest news note, obviously, is podcasts.yahoo.com. That's right, Yahoo now has a podcast directory service. If you are not in the directory, you can go to our directory of directories, and there are two places in Yahoo to register your RSS feed. There's the one that they mention in the podcast.yahoo.com, but there's also a multimedia location to register your podcast. So again, go to our directory of directories at podcast411.com and go to the last two items, and there's two different places where you need to enter your feed if you haven't done so already. The second item, I'd like to remind everyone that Senator Edwards is looking for podcasters to help and attend at his 10-city tour. Links in the show notes, but you can also go to projectopportunity.org to find out more about what cities and the dates and times. If you are a podcaster and you're interested, please send an email to rob@podcast411.com. Let me know that you're interested. In the past, I put out a call for people to send in feedback about how they explain podcasting to someone. We have one here from Love House Radio, so we're going to go ahead and play that right now. Here we go.
Hey, Rob. You had posed the question of how do you go about describing a podcast or an interesting story. And this past weekend, I was visiting my grandparents. My grandmother is over 80, I guess 81, and my grandfather is 78. And I tried to explain a podcast to them. Needless to say, I didn't get into many of the details because they don't even know what an MP3 is. But described it as a radio show that you can go onto the internet, download. They know what an iPod is. At least I've explained that to them in the past. So I told them, you know, it's a radio show. You can go and download it and listen to it whenever you want to. And different people do them on different topics. There's, you know, thousands of them. You can find one on any topic you're interested in. And I think it actually sunk in a little bit. You know, told them a little bit about some of the different ones and included, you know, Adam Curry's and yours and some different ones that I listened to and told them, you know, what those were about. So anyway, yeah, I guess one thing harder than describing a podcast to someone who may use a computer every day for something other than solitaire and mahjong, here I am, you know, describing it to people that are a little out of the tech savvy world or somewhat detached from, you know, what we consider commonplace now. But I just thought I would share that with you, and who knows, maybe one day I can get them to listen to my show on Love House Radio, and we'll see. Anyway, this is Jude Fan over at Love House Radio, and keep up the good work, Rob. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jude Fan, for sending in that feedback. Appreciate it. And for everyone listening, please make sure you check out Love House Radio Podcast. There'll be a link in the show notes. If you out there have a rant, a tech tip, or some feedback about how you've explained podcasting, please send a link or the MP3 file or WAV file to podcast411@gmail.com. We'd love to get your clips on the show. We're going to go ahead and get into our interview with Jeff from English as a Second Language Podcast. And as the name indicates, this is a podcast about teaching people English where it's currently their second language. Now, don't tune off so quick if you already know English. Some good tips and advice in this podcast, especially when you consider Jeff has over 7,000 subscribers, confirmed by FeedBurner. So this is one of the top 5 podcasts, according to FeedBurner, in their API public stats. So stick around, listen to what Jeff has to say, some good advice for podcasters. We're going to go ahead right now and get into the interview with Jeff. Here we go. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
First question, what was your first computer?
Well, the first computer I ever used was my father's. He bought it for the family, and that was the good old Radio Shack TRS-80. We didn't get another computer. At least I didn't start using a computer until I was in college. My senior year of college, I started using the computer lab, and they had Macs. And so I used a Mac, but that was like 1985, 86. I'm dating myself here. And then I switched to PC, and now about 6 months ago, I saw the light, and I'm back on a Mac. So very happy.
Congratulations. Welcome back
Thank
into
you.
The fold.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Now, what was the first podcast you listened to?
I've been trying to remember. It was definitely a couple of months ago. I first heard about podcasting in the spring of this year. I heard about, I think it was the Catholic Insider, was the first podcast I tried listening to. And then I kind of went through a period. I don't own an MP3 player. Well, I didn't until last week when my wife bought me an iPod. And so I've just been listening to a lot more in the last, really the last 10 days or so. But I've listened to Adam Curry, and of course, you're one of the first podcasts that I discovered, and listened to some of your early shows, too.
Any other podcasts that you're listening to on a regular basis this past week?
Well, I've listened to eMacCast, the enhanced MacCast, which I love because I love that chapter feature. I've listened to the Daily Source Code, a lot of tech ones because I'm trying to get ideas about how to make my own podcast better. And so obviously, you know, your podcast, I've listened to Podfinder, a few strange ones. I've listened to some other language learning podcasts to kind of see what other people are doing, since that's my primary interest. I'm not a techie, though I do listen to the Twit, the This Week in Tech, which is a little above me, quite frankly. I can follow those guys for about, you know, maybe 50, 60% of the way, and then I'm lost. So, and of course, a lot of the podcasts available are tech-oriented, a lot of the popular ones. And I'm not really a techie, per se, and so, but, you know, I enjoy listening to it, and it's been fun.
For those people that aren't familiar, yours, English is a Second Language podcast. It is one of the more popular podcasts with the higher subscriber base. You have well over 5,000 subscribers, which definitely puts you in the lead. You're probably one of the top 20 or 30 listened to podcasts.
Isn't that bizarre?
Go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about what your podcast is, or what they're going to hear when they listen to your show.
We have, I think now our feed burner subscriptions are around 7,000, and we do a daily podcast, 15 to 20 minutes a day of English that's intended for lower intermediates to advanced students of English. It's not for the rank beginner, and as if you know no English, this podcast will not be useful to you. But if you have a little bit of English, which is true of a large population living outside the U.S., then you can...
And a larger population inside the U.S.
And a large population inside the U.S., that's correct. Although, most of our listeners, looking at my web statistics, I would say that probably 85 to 90% of our listeners are abroad. We have listeners in 80-some countries right now. Any given show that we do, and I say we do a daily show Monday through Friday, we probably have close to 15,000 downloads of that show sometime. And we keep our shows up only for 5 days on the iTunes feed. Most of our listeners are abroad, and they're usually what I would classify as intermediate language learners. And we get some more advanced students. In fact, a lot of I get emails every day. I get 20, 30 emails every day. And there's always a certain percentage of people who think we speak too slowly for them. But the average listener, I have to kind of take that with a grain of salt, because someone who emails me is probably more advanced than the average listener. And our subscription, you know, base has been growing steadily. So I think we're probably at the right level, but it's definitely for somebody who is not that advanced, and but still wants to, somewhere in the intermediate level that wants to improve their English. And what we do is the format is very simple. We start with a 3 to 5 minute dialogue, or usually just a sort of a story where we talk about everyday things like, I went to the doctor today and I checked in at the front counter and I gave the nurse my HMO card and so forth, using lots of vocabulary that would be specific to that particular topic. And then the last 10 to 15 minutes, we discuss the dialogue, we discuss the story in more detail. So we'll go back and say, okay, well, I started off by saying that I walked up to the counter. A counter is a desk where you have one, and so forth. So you go on and you explain all of those things in more detail. So they sort of get it twice. They get it first in the story and the dialogue, then they get it again in these longer, elaborated explanations.
Well, I liked you going over some slang too, like shooting craps.
Absolutely. We also go over slang, and we try to use idioms. You know, I write it, or my colleague Lucy writes the script, and we just try to write it as we would talk normally, but read it at a much, well, not a much slower, but a slower rate, probably 60 to 70% rate in terms of how fast we're speaking. And then when we do the explanations, we speak a little faster. But the idea here is that we want people to be able to understand. A lot of people have access to English. I mean, you think about it, you can listen to CNN and BBC anywhere, but it's often English that's too fast for them to understand, for the intermediate student anyway. So we're giving them an opportunity to hear some daily English without the stress of having to keep up with the native rate.
Now, how many of the baseball slang terms have you gone over? Because I have to imagine that's got to be the hardest slang for people to understand. American English has so many baseball slangs built into it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's a very good question. I'm not a big baseball fanatic myself, but I would say, you know, we do introduce some sports vocabulary, but it's not usually, unless, of course, we do one just on baseball. I'm going to a baseball game, which would be cool. We may do one like that. You know, whatever comes up in the conversation, so, you know, he really struck out. Well, that's probably going to come up in a conversation about something else, and then we'd go over it. I started off just doing this as a hobby. I still do it as a hobby, and I think you said earlier in one of your shows, you know, you don't go into podcasting to make money.
And this is a hobby, and people forget this is a hobby.
Right. But the flip side of that is that it can be an expensive hobby if you have, you know, 10,000 people downloading 3 to 5 megabyte files every day from your...
Now, what are you using for a server?
Again, I'm not very tech savvy, so I ended up going with GoDaddy, mostly because their bandwidth rate was so reasonable, and I knew that I was going to be... I mean, we burn probably 30 to 50 gigabytes a day of bandwidth, so I need somebody who can provide that to me at a reasonable cost.
Now, have you thought about Libsyn or Podlot or one of these other unlimited services?
Well, I'm writing that down as you tell me. as I say, I'm not a techie, and so I never heard of an XML file before, you know, July of this year. Libsyn, is that what it is?
Libsyn. So they offer unlimited bandwidth. So for someone like you, that you have shows that go up and down, you're looking at, it would cost you maybe, if you're doing a show every day and you wanted to keep them up, it would cost you maybe $30 a month.
Wow. Wow, we'll definitely be looking at that one today. But as I was saying, it's a challenge because, as I say, now we have, we've just put to bed, I think, our 55th show. And so in each show is 10 to, well, now it's more closer to 20 minutes.
Well, normally I ask when did you start? But if you're doing 5 a week and you did 55 shows and we put it in the calculator, you did it 11 weeks ago.
That's right. Absolutely. So I'm pretty much of a newbie to the whole podcasting world. But I've been having a ball, and I work at home, so I have the advantage of being able to make time in my day in order to do it. It takes me probably an hour and a half or so from the time I sit down and record it to the time, you know, I edit the feed and everything's ready to go. You know, my next move is to try to improve my audio quality. I'm going to be going to the Podcasting Expo here in Southern California, then out in Ontario.
Okay. Well, good. I look forward to meeting you at that.
Wonderful, which I just discovered a few weeks ago. But I'm still very much of a learner, so I'm trying to absorb new information about how to make my podcast better technically and otherwise every day.
What are you using currently for your hardware and your software on your podcast to do your recording and your editing?
Right. Well, I'm almost embarrassed to say because compared to a lot of people, I'm sure it's very low tech. But I have a PowerBook G4, and I use mostly GarageBand and Audacity in terms of software. So nothing fancy. My mic is a Shure SM58, and I have this little Eurorack UB802 mixer preamp, which
Behringer.
I bought.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. So I went onto a bunch of sites and I read people's recommendations and said, well, if you want to start at the entry level, this is where to go. And so that's what I have now. And I'm hoping, as I say,
your show sounds great. I mean, the audio quality of the show is excellent. It obviously hasn't scared anyone away based on your subscriber numbers.
We've been very gratified by the response. You know, there are other language learning podcasts out there, including other English casts. In fact, there's a guy, Englishcaster.com, who has a list of all the different ESL podcasts that are available. I think, you know, for me, I see that the promise of podcasting is that people can get access to language, not just free language, but they have access to methodologies or approaches to teaching languages that they wouldn't find in the traditional method or the traditional venues. You know, I think one of your guests said a consumer-generated content, because you have just anyone who can figure out how to do it, able to put up their own podcast, you can bypass a lot of the traditional routes to information. Of course, this has been true of the web in general, but podcasting, I think, for language learning, has a particularly unique promise because it can deliver literally hours and hours of language that you're trying to pick up to you, and obviously you can listen to it anywhere.
One thing, you know, you mentioned this large audience, and I know my listeners are all wondering, how'd you do it? How did you go out and promote your show? What did you do to promote your show outside of podcasting to draw in such a large listener base?
You know, I did absolutely nothing, Rob, honestly. I listed it in iTunes, you know, fairly early on, in late July, early on in terms of iTunes. I got in there as quickly as I could, thanks to your tutorials, by the way. I did nothing. I listed it under education. That was it. I found out about other podcast networks. You know, that's not a very significant source. 99% of our listeners come through iTunes to us.
Wow.
I didn't, you know, I'm listed in other directories, but I don't think we get hardly anything.
Were you ever featured in iTunes?
Yes. But interestingly enough, we'd already had about 5,000 subscribers when we were featured in iTunes. So one of the events, it didn't make that big of a difference. It certainly helped. It really helped just in the U.S. A lot of people aren't aware that you can go to different countries in iTunes and see their stores. Mm-hmm. I think there are like 20 countries and something like that. We, after a couple of weeks, were in the top 10 in almost every country in Europe and Japan. So we started to get a huge listening, you know, audience that way. But again, I did absolutely nothing because I didn't really know what to do, and I still don't know what to do. I just put it in iTunes. I think the one thing that helped us is we originally were in education in the category, and I figured out after looking at somebody else's feed how to get ourselves cross-listed in other categories, and the obvious choice there would be the international section. You know, you go to international and you have, I don't know how many, 14, 15 languages there. We're listed in every one of those. In fact, for a while, I think there were only two Polish podcasts listed, ours and the Vatican. So it was me and the Pope for a while there. But I think that makes sense in terms of listing it. I don't think that I wouldn't encourage people to list things just in random categories. But for people who are interested in learning English, the international categories make sense. And I think that probably helped us a lot.
What is the address? So someone wants to find your website, where do they go to?
They can go to www.eslpod.com, ESLpod. They'll see a very simple website. That's partly because I'm not a web designer, though I've had several people offer to redesign my website for free, which has been wonderful, but I haven't taken them up on it yet. They'll see a very simple design. We have our previous 5 shows listed. We're working right now, just because we've had such a huge demand, we're working right now on a way to get people the previous podcast, because one of the most common requests I get is, well, how can I get your old podcast? And because I can't really afford to put them up on the iTunes feed, I'm working on a way that if they can make a small donation, we can give them some of the previous podcasts. I wish I could do it for free, but just maybe if I find the right hosting company, that might happen. And that's what we've been doing. We in fact have started accepting donations, and that's really helped in terms of paying for the bandwidth.
That's one of the questions I have now as a standard question is, what are you doing to generate revenue for your show? So donations, is there anything else you're doing?
Well, I'm working right now on setting up sort of a little storefront so that people could come in, just like iTunes, and download podcasts, past podcasts. Now, you may say, well, if they can get them for free, which they can, on iTunes, why would they want to download the past ones? But a lot of people, of course, are new listeners, and so they weren't there for the first 40 episodes. And I'm also looking at producing, I guess we would call them premium podcasts. For example, someone who wants to learn medical English, a doctor, a lawyer. Well, that's not something that's going to be of interest to the average listener, but for them to be able to have an hour or 2 hours where they can listen to and learn about medical vocabulary, that would be very useful to them. So we're looking at kind of producing some special podcasts that would only be available on the storefront, and they'd be able to download that, you know, for an iTunes-like fee or cheaper, 79 cents for 20 minutes, a 20-minute podcast, something like that. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if it's going to be successful. We haven't looked at an advertising model, although I'm sure that somebody will go that route, you know, advertising language schools and that sort of thing.
Having just gone through getting a podcast up and running and searching out different things, what is some advice you'd like to offer out to people that you wish you had known going into this?
In terms of things I wish I would have known, I wish I would have known more about getting good audio quality. The first 10 podcasts that I did are just atrocious. You know, the importance of getting a good mic, making sure that you know how to use the recording software on your computer. Those are things I probably would have spent more time on. I spent a lot of my time on trying to figure out what my content was, which of course is important. But from a technical aspect, I think I probably would have spent more time doing that. And also worrying about things like, do I have a focused message in my podcast? Is my podcast about something specifically enough that it's going to meet that sort of niche audience? Because there are a lot of ways I could have gone that I don't think would have been as successful. But that's, you know, that's going to depend on the your topic of interest.
Well, it definitely looks like you found a niche that is got a lot of people interested in it. So,
well, we're very happy, and as I say, no one could be more surprised than me at the success of this thing. And
especially each month when your bandwidth bill comes in.
Exactly. That's right.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It's been my pleasure, really, and thanks for your show. It's been a godsend to those of us who are trying to get into this podcasting business.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Jeff from the English as a Second Language podcast. You can check out his podcast at eslpod.com. Jeff, thanks again so much for coming on the show. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to be playing a promo from the Heart and Music Radio podcast, so please stick around to hear that. Now, I just received an email from Wichita Rutherford, and he wanted me to mention that he's got a little promotion going on right now. What he's done is he's recorded a 3-minute haunted house podcast. He's done his part of it and left blank spots for you as a podcaster to put in your part of it. So he's looking for people to fill in. So like when he says, "Look out, it's coming from behind," you can put in whatever you would like in the front part of that. He's recorded his part. He's waiting for you to do your part, and you have until October 20th to get this in. He will then pick the one that he thinks is the best and put it out on his regular feed. So that's 5minuteswithwichita.com. Go ahead and check that out. You also, if you're subscribed, you should already have that file with the haunted house. Wichita, I'll be doing mine and sending mine in. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, with Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Hi, I'm Julie. My co-host Tracy and I invite you to join us on an adventure through the world of art. Each week, we will either interview an independent artist or discuss an art-related topic. We will also feature a lighthearted oddity designed to bring a smile to your face. To sample recent shows and to learn how to subscribe, go to www.heart-and-music.com. Heart and Music Radio. Come discover the arts.